Time to join George Balkhew for a little It's Your Money, tools, tips, and tricks to borrow smarter and pay it off quicker. The couple from Kelowna, they had much media attention last week, basically taking aim at their automotive sales company as well as the TD Bank, basically suggesting that the car company and the bank were in cahoots. And that they had been done, were feeling, quote-unquote, robbed with a 25% interest TD car loan. George Balkhew has been tracking that story, following it. Mr. Balkhew, good morning to you, sir.
Hey, good morning, Phil. It's commendable that the CBC did this feature story and great education, but I'm guessing they didn't put this family in touch with someone that was actually going to help them. But that aside, I have 20 minutes worth of learning and warning on this story and 5 minutes to share it. As always, I'll put the rest on my website. Now, this couple had a recent bankruptcy on their credit file. For 5 years, that guarantees, if you have bankruptcy, a rate of 20% or higher on a car loan. The dealership got them financed through TD Automotive. Where is this the TD's fault that this couple is really, really high risk? They defaulted on all their debts in bankruptcy. Whatever the reason, legitimate or not, risk equals rate. Always has, always will. Just look at the fine print of most credit cards. They range in the fine print from 10% to 27%, depending on your credit. Look at the fine print on lines of credit. They range from prime to prime plus 6%. Rate equals risk. When you're paying 25% on a car loan, you can either walk away or you can sign it knowing you have bad credit.
Okay. So I've seen some of the coverage of this, and not just through the CBC, but I've seen it where the couple have said, listen, we recognize that this was our fault. We're our own worst enemy. We haven't handled this well. But they also believe that they were told that if they made all their payments for a year, that then effectively the deal would be rewritten to make things more palatable, I guess, if
right.
you will, or fiscally more absorbable.
Right. I hear that hundreds of times in emails a year. Yes, the dealership probably made in excess of $5,000 in profit on huge markup of interest rate, on the fees they put in this deal, and the price of the vehicle. This couple didn't even get to pick a vehicle. They were told it had to be that one to get financed. Well, that's not true, but it's one of so many red flags in the story. Yes, the dealership lied when they promised, if they did promise, that the couple could refinance at a decent rate if they made payments on time for a year. That was never, ever going to happen. But I hear that promise all the time to get people to take away their reluctance to sign for some insane financing, thinking that it's only for a short period of time. And if a promise is not in writing, it's not true. Never, ever, whether it's a collection agency, a car dealership, or anybody on the planet, never rely on verbal promises because you will never collect on them. Hear me really clearly. I don't hear so good, but I read really well. If it's written down, it means something. Now this dealership, by the way, is offering 5% financing on a new car to make this pain go away. That would make things so much worse, but it'll take too long to explain. Someone get this couple in touch with someone who can actually help them, or go down to Mosaic and get them a $20 copy of the It's Your Money book, because it would have saved them about $5,000.
Yeah. It's funny. When you had sent me a note last week and said, Phil, I'm going to go to this issue, given your own roots, which are the automotive industry, you spent a great number of years of your life putting people and vehicles and finance packages together. Somewhere I thought more sympathy from you.
I'm sorry. I was probably the only guy in the entire country that actually has a credit management degree. Business managers are on commission. Business managers are 90% ex-car salespeople. They have no credit knowledge. How many times I wondered it'll look people in the eye going, don't sign this deal, come back and see me in 6 months when you've done these two or three things to fix up your credit. Because this couple could have probably driven a taxi for a year and been better off financially. But big picture, let me ask you, how often do you think the average person like you and me buys a vehicle?
Well, I don't know. I guess the statistical average would say about every 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, okay. I'm thinking 5 years. Well, a salesperson, no matter how good or bad, sells about 10 to 12 vehicles a month. And the business manager deals with 5 to 8 customers a day. So you have one purchase experience versus 600 with that salesperson versus a finance manager having dealt with 6,000 people in those 5 years. This is a score of 6,000 to 1. That's like bringing a knife to a machine gun fight. You don't have a chance. You're going to get slaughtered. And this couple was dead when they walked on the lot.
Well, you know, and I hear you when you put it in that context, and certainly there's no question that their story is probably replicated thousands upon thousands of times across the country, millions of times across North America.
Yep. But, you know, and this couple did take some accountability, you know, for having signed up on this going broke trip. But and they got massively ripped off, there's no doubt. But there isn't any blood on the documents. No one held a gun to their head to sign it. They relied on a verbal promise that was never, ever going to come true because bad credit stays on your credit file for 7 years. So, you know, just 5 minutes worth of going, I'm just going to go home and ask a couple of questions before I come back and sign this or just walk off the lot. But they, you know, as I said, they did choose to be ripped off. Big picture, and this couple aside, it's more and more prevalent that we're not personally accountable. You know, I can already think of three options this couple had other than signing up for this loan that's going to end up costing them 2.5%, 2.5 times the price of the vehicle. But, you know, I can think of a lot of people going, this isn't fair, and wondering why the rich get richer. Well, the rich have investments and savings, while you and me have debts and payments. 90% of millionaires didn't inherit their money. They became millionaires on their own. And millionaires don't finance their vehicles. Well, they're rich. That's why they don't. Well, no, they don't do dumb financing. If you want to become a millionaire, get a $2,000 car that you pay cash for instead of a $500 car payment. Then start setting aside some money with what you're not making in car payments. When you have some savings, step up and buy a $4,000 or $5,000 vehicle. But a $500 car payment will guarantee that you're going to be stuck in debt for a decade or longer, and you sure can't save any money while you're making $500 car payments. Go look up what Warren Buffett drives if you want some more evidence.
Well, hey, listen, you're preaching to the converted. I still remember when you used to have to cruise through town, and I remember the used cars that you used to drive through town. There wasn't a new car among them. I met $1.5 billion just the other day, a gentleman worth $1.5 to $1.7 billion, still travels with regularly scheduled airlines and drives a not the vehicle that you might expect if they're worth $1.5 billion.
Only you and I can turn our financing around. When we say we can't do it, it wasn't our fault, we have all these payments, we have to get that loan, it's too hard, you're going to spend the rest of your life proving that you're right.
George Balkia, you can find him online. Go to itsyourmoneybook.com on Google. Itsyourmoneybook.com. You'll find much of what he had to say here this morning, plus a whole lot more dealing with your personal finance.